In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. And so the journey now comes to its climax, the apex. Last night at Vespers, we heard these words. The church prayed, saying these words to God. Quote, "Count us worthy of beholding the week of your passion. For we had completed the 40 days of the fast for the profit of our souls." End of quote. There it is. 40 days of preparation for these next 8 days. Today, as he spoke in the catechesis earlier this week, the today that we hear in liturgy, each time when we hear those words, the church herself re-enters the paschal mystery of Christ. This holy week begins with light and joy, and it ends the week with even a greater and more profound light and joy. But in the midst of the joy, in beginning and end, we go into the darkest of days, the days of greatest terror, the days of hell, Hades with Christ. In other words, the church is beginning with light. And even though we're going to enter into these very dark days, the darkest days of human history, the light of God is still shining in the midst of this darkness. The tyranny, the terror, the hell that we'll see going on when all evil is lashed and thrown against the God-man. And yet through it all, there's still God's light illumining even the darkness. Let's always remember that in our own personal lives, that when it seems very, very dark, God's light is stronger than all darkness. Great and Holy Week begins with a double feast. A double feast. The resurrection of Lazarus and the entrance of our Lord into his own city. The city of Jerusalem, that is God's city. We call it Palm Sunday. The raising of Lazarus from the dead presents to us the whole reason why the God-man is going to enter his city of Jerusalem tomorrow. He's going to Jerusalem as all prophets go to Jerusalem, although he's the great prophet. And he tells us, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die. But by his death, he's going to conquer death." Because Jesus of Nazareth is the God of the living and the dead. Today and tomorrow's double feast, therefore, the church fathers have called the beginning of the cross. Today, as I've been saying the last few weeks, today is the beginning of Great and Holy Week. Now, if we look at the particular characteristic of Lazarus Saturday, perhaps you've noticed it's rather paradoxical. Our liturgy is a Sunday liturgy. We even sang the Evlocataria before liturgy began during Orthros, where you were back to St. John Chrysostom's liturgy. And if you hear all the prayers, it's all about the resurrection, because every Sunday is about the resurrection. Normally in our Byzantine tradition, in our Antiochian tradition, on Saturdays, we're commemorating the dead. We're remembering those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, and the church prays for them. On this Saturday, however, something different happens. We're recalling the resurrection. This is not by accident. Today's event is a prelude to the forthcoming victory of Christ over Hades, of Christ over the place of non-life, of Christ over, quote, the small letter H, hell. What the biblical language is Sheol or Hades. What is Sheol? What is Hades? When the Lord descends into Hades on Holy Saturday, where did he go? What is this place he went into? It was the place of inescapable darkness. A darkness that's so strong that it swallows up life and it poisons anything that's living. That's how the Jews, and that's how the Greeks, and that's how the ancient world understood this Hades, the Sheol, the place of no life, and it sucks out all life. Today, however, if we listen to our liturgy, for this Liturgy of Lazarus Saturday, listen, it says, the church says, death is trembling today. Death is trembling, quote, death will hear his voice, and trembling with fear and groaning bitterly. End of quote. At the tomb of Lazarus, today, as we heard in the gospel passage, the decisive duel between death and life ensues, offering the key to what is actually the celebration of this entire liturgy of Paschal, of this Holy Week, the entire week of Holy Week. It is the great battle between death and life. And the early church, our fathers, the great saints, theologians, call Lazarus Saturday, quote, the announcement of Pascha. The word Pascha means Passover. So today is announcing the Passover from death to life. Today is anticipating what is, and is already giving you a foretaste of what we're going to be singing joyfully about next Saturday night, the night of the resurrection. Now, looking at Lazarus in particular, Lazarus is a friend of Jesus the Christ, one of his closest friends. But Lazarus is more than just a close friend of Christ. Lazarus personifies every single human being that has ever been born and that will ever be born. And Bethany, the village where Lazarus lived, is more than just that one little simple historical village some 2,000 years ago. Bethany is the home of mankind. So what's happening? In the beginning, which is where we began Great Lent with Genesis, in the beginning, God created the human person. And Adam walked with God in God's garden. And this friend of God, this little anthropos, who received the breath of life from God, broke that friendship. And so Adam began to experience something that God did not create. God did not create death. We brought death into the world. We brought sin, death. And every time we sin, we bring death into God's creation. Death, sin, it's an infectious disease. It's a poisonous drug. And what does it do? It corrupts. It corrodes. It annihilates. It sucks out life. It doesn't give life. And so this world, God's garden, became what? A veil of tears. A song of lamentation. Place of travail, a land of anguish. Every time you open the news and look at it, That's what we see. Brother against brother, Abel and Cain over and over and over. Lamech killing, thievery, briberies, stepping on one another, aggressive behavior to one another, strife. So where do we find ourselves today? With the God-man standing before the tomb of mankind. And the God-man wept. He wept. Not only in his humanity does he weep for creation. It's the God-man weeping. It's the God-man. But love, selfless love, confronts death. And selfless love commands, take away the large stone from that tomb. And humanity did what? Cowered. Cowered in fear and lack of faith. And it says, but wait a minute. It's going to be a stench. Indeed, when we are filled with sin and death, we stink. And our sins cause God's creation to stink. It's awful. And it's repugnant. But selfless love is not deterred. He walks right into that stench to offer the human person once again glory. The God-man came to remove the stench. He came to encounter death, anti-life. And so today, as the liturgy says, the church, you and I, we accompany our Lord to the tomb. And now today we are entering into his hour. The hour for which he came, says St. John. The hour which is the fulfillment of his work. To die, to face our enemy. And we understand what impels him now. It was selfless love. Selfless love for his friend Lazarus. Selfless love for you and me. And it's that selfless love, as we hear in the Song of Songs, that is more powerful than death itself. And that selfless love brought Lazarus out of the tomb. The power of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection is rooted in the power of selfless love. It's selfless love that creates. It's selfless love that redeems. It's selfless love that recreates. Selfless love this week enters death itself. And speaking to humanity, Lazarus, come forth. Today then announces what the church is going to be celebrating for the next 8 days. And we celebrate every Sunday. The triumph of authentic, true love. Christ is among us.